Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome inside Good Morning Football Live in New York City. It's Wednesday, March 29th. I'm Jamie Erdahl, Kyle Brandt there, Jason McCourty, and of course, Michael Brockers. How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling good. You know?
Joining us all show.
I know, absolutely. Yes.
You like talking Lamar and Aaron Rodgers? You're at the right show,
giddy
buddy.
Up. Come on. Here we Let's go. Time for the lead block. Kyle was well done because with Aaron Rodgers all but gone in Green Bay, all eyes are on the Packers. The table was full talking to Matt LaFleur yesterday in Arizona. The unproven heir apparent, though, is Jordan Love. Here's his head coach, Matt LaFleur, from yesterday on the 26th overall pick from the 2020 draft and his outlook.
And we're excited about Jordan and what he's been able to, how he's been able to progress as a quarterback, how he's matured as a man. And, you know, it's going to be a different role for him, certainly. And I think we all have to kind of temper our expectations, you know, for him. It's just, it's different when you're going into a game versus when you're starting a game, and it's going to be a process.
The trade to be named later move that would involve Aaron Rodgers going to New York City proving to be quite the process as well. The situation has Jets owner Woody Johnson sounding, I don't know, a little anxious, who via The Athletic said yesterday, quote, "I'm not the patient sort. We're in the win business. We have to win now." It is different being in the win versus the win now business. Two teams experiencing very different ends of this same situation. The Packers moving forward with Jordan Love and the Jets eager to boost a young and talented roster with a very special four-time MVP. These two soap opera storylines, and we have been along for the ride the entire time. So, Jason, let's start with you. You know these two, the coach said something, the owner said something. Where does your mind and your heart go first?
Yeah, I love this because it's like the tale of two cities, how we talked about it. And on one end, you have LaFleur saying, all right, let's temper our expectations, but for me, that almost feels impossible. You have Aaron Rodgers, who just won back-to-back MVPs a year ago, and now you're allowing him, almost pushing him out the door when you hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say a few weeks ago. So now we are bringing in Jordan Love, and all we've heard this entire time is how excited they are to have him there. So the expectations are through the roof because we saw what LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers were able to do. Yes, they weren't able to bring home a Super Bowl trophy, but at the same time, we saw some of Aaron Rodgers' best work throughout his career with LaFleur there as the head coach. So when you push a guy out the door like Aaron Rodgers and you say, hey, we really can't see him being here on our roster if things go the way we plan them, then the expectations are going to be through the roof for Jordan Love, no matter what you say. And obviously, to what LaFleur is saying, when you're the starter, it is totally different. But this is what they have been preparing him for. This was no different than when Brett Favre left and now Aaron Rodgers came in. Expectations were high because you're letting go of one of the best players to ever put on the Green Bay Packer uniform. Mm-hmm. So whoever you're replacing him with, especially when you've drafted him a few drafts ago, mm-hmm. he better be ready to step in and take the reins and go out there and ball. Mm-hmm. And then on Woody Johnson's end, the pressure he's putting on Douglas now as the GM is like, mm-hmm. yo, get this done. I want to win now. It's been so long. I wonder, does that kind of push it up? We talked yesterday, hey, what do you give up for Aaron Rodgers? Is it a first-round draft pick? Well, when your owner's saying things like that, it may just be a first-round draft pick because he wants Aaron Rodgers in his building today.
Right.
What do you think, Brock?
Man, for me, to be honest with you, going to the Matt LaFleur thing, yeah. I like what he did. I like what mm-hmm. he did. He took the pressure off his young quarterback in front of the media, you know, because yeah. that's the biggest thing, man. As a player, you want to know that your coach has your back. So, I think he did a good job taking the pressure off of him as far as the media is going to go because, you know, they're going to expect a lot of things.
He's been
in his system for 3 years behind A-Rod. Mm-hmm. We're expecting you to do the same thing that he did behind Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. So I think he did a great job with that. And then going on to the Woody Johnson tweet, I agree with him. If I'm an owner and, you know, I have the opportunity to get a great quarterback and I know that's the missing piece for my team, mm-hmm. I'm going to want that guy. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give up. You know, I'm hoping that my GM does whatever it takes to get that guy in the building.
Hell yes. Let me ask you something, Brock. Are you a Marvel guy? You into Marvel?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
Well, you've probably all seen this. There's that meme where Captain America's all old and everything. He's all grown mm-hmm. up, and he says, mm-hmm. no, I don't think I will. When I hear I'm supposed to temper my expectations for Jordan
Talk
Love,
about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I will. What do we say these days, Jay? Miss me on that?
Yeah,
miss
yeah,
me
yeah,
on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not tempering squat for Jordan Love. This guy better play. This guy's sitting. You drafted him in the first round. Wait. You moved up to draft him in the first round. You just had to have him. Your MVP goes off for the next few years. You sit him. Now he's ushered out the door in this disgusting divorce because you drafted that guy. That said about the chain of events that's going to make Aaron Rodgers a Jet. Jordan Love's been sitting there. You want to know who else is in his draft class? Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. Those guys have been out there putting skins on the wall. They're showing up in playoff games. They're showing up in Super Bowls. Your guy's been sitting there. Don't tell me to temper anything. This guy better be able to play. Rodgers sat and put up 4,000 yards in his first year as a starter, 28 touchdowns. That's the basement. Don't tell me to temper. It's not temper time. That is a rookie who comes out and starts, and we temper our expectations. We'll temper our expectations for C.J. Stroud this fall. I'm not tempering anything for Jordan Love. This guy better be able to play. What the hell have you guys been doing? If he can't play, that's on you, coach. You better get him ready. Because if this guy falls on his face and Rodgers is in New York, disaster. I will temper nothing. No, I don't think I will. Jamie.
Kyle, don't do him like that. I'm listening to you, and I have this word written down next to Jordan Love here, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, don't say this about a grown man. Don't say it. I kind of pity Jordan Love.
He did nothing wrong.
I don't want to pity him, but I feel really badly for him. He did nothing wrong. He gets drafted in 2020. To be honest, his draft night when he went 26th overall to the Packers, that's when this whole thing started.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you lit the fire underneath Aaron Rodgers. That's when you created a fan base and really a league that was immediately questioning what the Packers were doing, and frankly, what they do every draft, which is go out and get defensive guys. You don't get wide receivers. You don't bolster in the offseason. You let your star, Davante Adams, go in the offseason. I pity Jordan Love. And frankly, Matt LaFleur, it's too little too late, to Kyle's point, to ask us to temper it now. The man has played in 10 games. He only has a single one that he can hang a record on in which he is 0-1. He's thrown 3 touchdowns and 3 picks. I feel badly for him. This is not a win-win situation. This is a lose or kind of feel nothing about you entering your fourth mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. Then if he's even baseline mediocre in a division that is changing rapidly in terms of its identity, you have to go a fifth year option. Well, you got to make, it feels like the time has passed in terms of trying to make a decision about Jordan Love. I pity him. Woody Johnson, I don't pity you. You got in the wrong game with a quarterback if you're losing patience on what all you have to have when you deal with Aaron Rodgers is patience, I think, at times. The man makes you wait. He makes you think on it. He makes you question. It feels like every life decision you've made about getting into business with him Oh, man, patience. Oof. I don't know if I think you're going to have to need a little bit more if you're dealing with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, you're going to have tons of that.
Yeah.
You just came from the NFC North. Mm-hmm. Rodgers is leaving. Mm-hmm. There's this young person who's never played before. Does it feel like it's vulnerable, like everybody attack with the Rodgers thing gone? Mm-hmm. Does it feel like a totally different division?
Oh, yeah, definitely feels wide open. With the, King of the North or whatever they call him. But you definitely feel that, okay, this division isn't just crowned the Green Bay Packers because they have A-Rod. Now it's wide open for each team to take the crown. And I think it's that team in Detroit is making a lot of momentum.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Pushing for a lot of guys, in the league. So I'm excited to see what happens in the NFC North this year.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been a part of that as a veteran? A young guy comes in and is like, all right, is there opportunity to play a young quarterback? Mm-hmm. How does a team rally around a Jordan Love to say, all right, we have your back, go out there and ball. We've watched you do it in practice the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all about the team, man. I mean, they know that's their guy, that's who the team is choosing to be the quarterback. I mean, you have to ride for the guys who's on your team. And I think, the defensive guys and the receivers, they're going to show, hey, we have his back. So they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure he succeeds.
That's what's interesting about the situation, though, Brock, is that at times this doesn't feel like a situation where the Packers did choose Jordan Love. I know they did it a couple years ago, but it feels like they are being handed him. It feels like he is the one sitting in the chair now because the person who was in the chair chose to leave. Aaron Rodgers is the one, I feel like, that has been in the driver's seat this whole time for the Packers, and now they are left holding this bag of like, oh no, don't think too much of Jordan Love. Like, you don't put too much expectation on him.
See, I think they want this.
The Packers?
Yes, I think they want this. They want this Jordan Love. I think to what Brock said earlier, what LaFleur is trying to do is create a platform and the opportunity for him to not have to go out there and weigh the weight of the world on his shoulders, but they want him as their guy. I think they looked at the last few years, and when this offseason hit, and it was just like, all right, Rodgers, what's he going to do? When they didn't have an answer right away, it's like, we're not going through this again. We drafted this kid to get out there and play. Let's give him his opportunity to go play. But at the same time, they don't want to set the expectations too high because Aaron Rodgers is going to a very good football team in the New York Jets. Rodgers could get out there, and next thing you know, the Jets are the best team in the AFC East, and we're talking about them as the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and the Packers are struggling. But I think at some point, you have to rip the Band-Aid off. We watched Peyton Manning go through an injury with a statue outside in Indianapolis, and they let him walk to bring in Andrew Luck. So at some point, your greatest quarterback, maybe the greatest player to play on your franchise, you have to let him go. The way it was done, very peculiar. But at the same time, I think the Packers wanted this. They're ready to see the Jordan Love era happen. If he's not the guy, now they have to figure out what's next, but they have to determine whether Jordan Love is the guy or not.
Oh, heaven forbid he's not the guy. Oh, man. Time for Whiteboard Wednesday. We are learning the rules of the game here with Michael Brockers. Let's roll with our first question. Nick Sirianni, in the spirit of time, Nick Sirianni told reporters this week that Jalen Hurts has been working out like a maniac, just what you want your quarterback to do, since the Eagles lost in Super Bowl 57. The player who you think will be an absolute maniac in 2023 is?
I'm going to get us started right here, and I'm going with a wide receiver that Michael Brockers knows well in Detroit, Jameson Williams. This guy was drafted. Detroit moved up to get him last year, knowing he was coming off of an ACL knee injury. And as soon as he got out there, we saw him scoring touchdowns. Now a whole offseason to get healthy. We need Jared Goff to have the same type of season he did last year. And sky's the limit for Jameson Williams. He's in Detroit. He's walking around. He's getting to know the people there. He's acclimating himself to the new city. He will no longer be a rookie. I'm looking forward to this guy going off. DJ Chark is now a Carolina Panther, which opens the door for him and Amon-Ra St. Brown on that offense. I think he's going to be a maniac this upcoming season. Brock, what you got?
Man, I went with a guy we talked about earlier in the show. I went OBJ.
Did you?
I went OBJ, and the reason why I did because, this guy's been out for
An entire season.
He's worked. He's lobbying. He's going to owners' meetings and stuff like that. So I definitely believe he's doing whatever it takes to show that to reprove himself that he is the guy that he think he is. So I think he's going to be a maniac next year if he gets on a team.
I like that one a lot. And if Peter Schrager were here, he would be falling off his chair trying to add on to that. I'm drawing a logo because a man who's going to go off, you must know him by his logo.
That's Jalen Ramsey.
That's Jalen Ramsey
on,
going
man.
To Miami.
Come on,
man. You know
man.
The logo.
Know
you got the J
logo,
and the R, and it's a football. I think that's fantastic coming off his best season last year in L.A. I know this is not true, but Jalen Ramsey, in my mind, is the original I am him guy. Because if you remember, he picked off somebody in the end zone last season and just turned the camera. It was like, nodding at the camera, I am him. Just go to Miami and go off, Jalen Ramsey. You got an unbelievable secondary now as Xavien Howard. And a guy will be able to go off when he has a partner in tandem that will match him or push him. And I think Miami is going to be tough to beat this season, especially defensively. Jalen Ramsey, he's about to arrive in South Beach.
I like
there we
it.
Go. I like that drawing, too.
Thank
drawing.
You.
Yeah, we don't need
good
logos.
Job, no.
Players don't have those cool logos.
And it's a football?
Letters.
Yeah,
I'll come up with something for you.
All right. Well, we're talking about Jalen Hurts, right? Quarterback, big, strong athlete, big college career. Where's number one? In his third year, they added a big wide receiver. It just all sounds very familiar all the way across the board. I even did this thing in cursive for the old schoolers. Yeah. And I asked specifically just now when I came up with the answer off the top of my head, did I just want to see Justin Fields throwing? We do this thing on our show, and I don't blame us. With everywhere in the media, you say the words Justin Field, and here he is running and running and running. You never see him throwing on television unless you're actually watching a game. This is Justin Fields throwing the ball, which he's going to do 107 times to DJ Moore next year in the passes that will be caught. The Jalen Hurts similarity is very, very, very close if you allow yourself to believe in the magic of Justin Fields, which I do. That's my guy.
Especially if they strike gold in the draft. Lamar Jackson gets that same highlight treatment, too. We go Lamar Jackson highlights. Throwing highlights. All right. Coming up, Lamar Jackson was at it again on Twitter late last night. The man is in his feelings, and he's putting it out there. We are watching the drama unfold, and, of course, we're going to talk about it, especially you, Kyle. Did you get that home gym yet?
It's coming.
No,
it's
not.
I have an update on the entire gym. I'm not kidding.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to
be my name. That's my game.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You guys ready to go on a Twitter roller coaster ride involving Lamar Jackson?
Always.
Let's go, buckle in. Late last night, Lamar Jackson took to Twitter to address some of his more skeptical followers. One person questioned whether Lamar sat out the final games last season due to his contract. Lamar replied, quote, "I don't remember me sitting out on my guys week one versus the Jets to week 12 against the Broncos. How come all of a sudden I sit out because of money in which I could have got hurt at any time within that time frame when we know the Super Bowl been on my mind since 2018? Next chapter, another follower confronted him on wanting to be a billionaire. Simple response for this one, who doesn't want to be a billionaire? What? One simply pleaded with him to admit he's just a running back. Lamar just listed a bunch of positions back at him, even kicker. He's all of the above. This is Lamar Jackson. He does a lot of tweeting. He's in his feelings. In the middle of the night, we wake up, and all of a sudden, we're turning left in these segments because we got to talk about this. Fitness, home gyms, and all. What do we think of this latest edition of Lamar going on defense last night for guys? Let's start at the beginning, though, saying that he sat out at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think for Lamar, there's a human nature to this, and he hears the things, he reads the things that people are saying about him, and it is tough. And I do think he brings up a great point. He played last season from week one knowing that his salary was going to be very low. He was going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and he didn't sit out of training camp. He was out there practicing. He didn't choose to sit out of a game. He didn't do a hold-in. He went out there and he performed. We had Mark Andrews on the show in the summer. And he said, hey, the one thing we know is our guy Lamar is going to be there. He always is. So I think the fact that we question, hey, is he going to play through this, play through that, even right now in the franchise tender, I think at some point Lamar does go, he does perform, and he goes out there and he plays for the Baltimore Ravens if there isn't a sheet that is signed and there isn't anything for him to go to another team. And I think the question marks of the position he plays and all that, I mean, that's just nonsense. The guy's an MVP. He's a quarterback. He's dominated at his position. They haven't been able to win the big one. And he has said from day one he wants to win the Super Bowl. If we're going to criticize guys about wanting to get paid, I mean, that's just insane. While I played in the NFL, I wanted to make the most amount of money I possibly can. No matter whether you're sitting at this table, there's people that are working the cameras, there's different roles within this show or whatever you're doing out there, you want to get paid for what you're worth and what the work that you're doing. So I'm not going to criticize a guy. If he has an opportunity to be a billionaire, to hell, go be a billionaire. More power to you. Mike, what you got?
Man, I agree with you. I'm going to just piggyback off what you said. I think he just wants to be paid what he's owed. I mean, which we throw all these stats in there and statistics on what he, you know, a passing quarterback versus a running quarterback. But I just think he wants to be paid what he's owed. And people throw all this other stuff and all these other narratives in there. Look what he's done with the team. You know, yeah, they haven't went to Super Bowl, but they've been in challenging for it since he's been, you know, playing for the team. So I just think, you know, he wants to be paid what he's owed. And a lot of people, you know, just don't understand that. I mean, you know, they try to throw a lot of narrative to bring you down and bring your pay down and stuff like that. And he wants to be paid like the top guys, and I don't blame him.
What I would love to hear from Lamar is the key information in all this is what is he looking for? We're all just guessing. We've just gone on this wild guess that he wants what Deshaun Watson got.
True.
We're guessing that he wants a fully guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. We're guessing he wants. We don't know. It could be that he wants to be reasonably paid for someone of his stature and be one of the top eight guys, which sounds great. And the Baltimore Ravens won't do it, which sounds terrible. They should do that. But if it is this thing where he's saying $231 million guaranteed, I want more than Deshaun, if it's that, which some of us just recklessly guess, then that's not responsible and the Ravens shouldn't do that. And it's a shame that the Browns did it. But he's tweeting this and that and I want billionaire and that, like it's all over the map. If he would just put up very clearly what he's looking for, and maybe that would hurt him at the negotiating table, I don't know. But in terms of the media relationship, in terms of going back with people on Twitter, we're all just guessing. We do entire segments based on Lamar wants a fully guaranteed contract. We don't know that. Has he ever said that? We just kind of assume, because if it can't get done after over a year, 2 years, it must be something irrational because he's such a good player and we see the stats. So we just jump in and assume he's wanting this. Lamar, it'd be really great if you could clear that up. I'd love that more than tweeting at 11:30 about whatever the hell you're in your fitness product. That would be great. You can buy a lot of fitness products with that much money.
Hey, don't you think you can logically deduce that that is?
That's not deducing, sure. Logically, sure. We don't know. All we're doing is deducing because we don't know. But deducing can be wildly inaccurate. It could be way off the mark. Maybe the Ravens are lowballing them. We don't know.
I think without saying it, I think that's what Lamar is attempting at his best to try to imply, that he is being lowballed. And I think it does hurt him. And I think representation or not, agent or not, I think he is wise to not come out with the exact number. Because the sliding scale of the longer this goes on, I realize that a lot of it is still going to be about money. But I think emotion and pride starts to have a value here for Lamar Jackson. And he may not want to step foot back in Owings Mills, Maryland, after they nickel and dimed him for 2 years or whatever is going on at that negotiating table. He may want to sign an offer sheet with a team that's willing to give up two first-round picks just to stick it to him because of how they have treated him for the last 2 years. Because Ross Tucker had a great tweet out yesterday that was essentially the value comparison between Josh Allen in his first couple years versus the last two, and how Lamar Jackson is never going to be able to make up that money. Mm-hmm. He is never going to be make up the value that Josh Allen now has amassed because he signed his deal when he did with the Bills. And the Ravens have hurt him. It seems like they've hurt his feelings. He is a man of pride that wants to get out of this situation where he feels like he can't see his way out of. And so the value is there. The emotion is certainly there. But I don't know if I almost wouldn't want him to ask to put that number out because then it becomes.
Daniel Jones signed a contract extension. What was Daniel Jones asking for? We have no idea. There were reports, but we have no idea. Geno Smith signed back with the Seattle Seahawks. What was Geno asking for? We don't know. We just know what he signed for because throughout the negotiating, it doesn't help to say, all right, hey, I'm asking for this amount of money or that amount of money. You negotiate and you try to figure it out. But I do think something's going to come into play of the relationship. It's a big part in the negotiating of, all right, if we do get them back, what does it feel like now moving forward? So I don't know. It's tough to figure out. To your point, we don't know what the asking price is. No, we don't know if it is fully guaranteed. We assume it, and I guess it makes sense to assume. Mm-hmm. But we have no idea what the conversations are between Lamar and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Time now for another game because it's the offseason on Good Morning Football. Odell Beckham Jr. showed up to the league meeting yesterday. OBJ lives and works out in the Phoenix area, but he also looked to be treating this like a job fair to talk with teams. Earlier this week, Giants owner John Mara said the team hasn't closed the door on OBJ just yet. The best place for Odell Beckham Jr. is indeed back with the Giants. Jason, do you believe this or not?
I do believe the best place for Odell is back here in New Jersey, in this area, in New York area. But instead of the blue uniform, I'm going to give him the green uniform. Bad. And I'm going to say, coming back here, just you're at the stadium, just head west. Go to Florham Park, the New York Jets facility, and that he can make home. Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. A veteran receiver like Odell Beckham, he joins that group. Obviously, they brought in Alan Lazard, who was with Rodgers in Green Bay. Have a young guy like Garrett Wilson. Now you just add that third piece in Odell Beckham. Him and Rodgers have already said they wanted to play together. It almost happened when he joined the Rams. Just kind of bring it full circle. Let him be, come back home, but be on the New York Jets, an opportunity to go chase the Super Bowl right now. That, to me, is the best spot for Odell Beckham Jr.
What do you think?
I must say I believe it only if the Giants want him. Only because you want to go somewhere where you're wanted. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go anywhere just, you know, willy-nilly. You want to go somewhere where somebody wants to have you there. They want to make you the star receiver. They want to make you everything that you believe you are. And, you know, if the Giants want that guy or want OBJ on the team and want him for that reason, I think he should go back.
If he wants to go where he's wanted, just go anywhere NFL media members are. I can't believe the breathless, panicked reaction when Odell shows up. Lamar could have signed and Rodgers could have trade, and everyone's thinking of Odell showing up at the annual meeting. I mean, anytime you get a 30-year-old wide receiver, too, coming off an injury to show up, it's a big moment. Mm. Guys, Odell has had 856 yards over the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. Drake London had more than that last year. So did Michael Pittman. If Chris Godwin walked through the lobby, no one would even lift their phone. He had 1,000 yards last season. The breathless coverage for this player who has been, I don't blame him at all, whatever, he's showing up trying to go to job fair. I just can't stand the coverage and everyone, it's like the Beatles showing up in the United States from Liverpool and it's Odell like coming off an injury. I just can't take it. I don't know where he goes in front of a camera.
You know, that's exactly, it is like the Beatles. We were in London and Germany. He is an international sensation. You know why the coverage is, and frankly, you probably know why coaches or owners would want him in their facility.
Paul and John were cranking out hits when they showed up. We got platinum on platinum on platinum.
What if he shows up and just is proving Kyle Brandt wrong, and now you have to continue to talk about him next season
Awesome. I can't wait to cover Odell Beckham, the football player. I just, the whole segment on a wide receiver, too, coming off an injury, who hasn't been productive in 3 years. Like, I don't know what we're talking about here. Let's talk about the draft.
I'm a wide receiver, too.
He is. I actually sat in. I almost threed him. I almost threed him, depending on where he goes. He might be a three. Yeah. That would be a great spot for him.
He had the green jeans on, too. I think he was giving us.
I hope the Jets get
green jeans for the Jets, baby.
Go to the Vikings.
Sounds great. They need a wide receiver, too. They just let one go to Carolina. How high should we be setting our expectations for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings next season?
We're Drake London, I love you. Drake London had a nice year last year. Let's talk about him.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game winner I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good morning, football!
Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins may have lost one of his most trusted receivers in Adam Thielen, who's in Carolina now, but he's retained the same play caller in second-year head coach Kevin O'Connell. That's something O'Connell is very excited about because Kirk has not had that a lot in his football life.
For me, the last time he had the same voice calling plays and the same system in his ear was, you know, Sean McVay, 2015 to 2016, before Sean took the job in Los Angeles. So this will be really cool for him to be in the same system, call the same formations, the same plays. Him and I got a great rapport as far as a lot of that goes. So I'm just excited to see him in year two. My goal is that, you know, 2023 is one of the best seasons Kirk Cousins has had playing quarterback in the NFL. And when that happens, I think it's going to be a really good thing for the Vikings.
All right, well, Kevin O'Connell brought it up, so let's take a look at it. Here is Kirk Cousins' 2015 and 16 years with Washington. Similar numbers. Again, the connection here is this was the last time he had consecutive play callers in his ear, which he will now experience for the first time since those two seasons. So that's one way to look at it, is how I'm looking at those numbers. Cousins was selected for the Pro Bowl in 2016. So expectations this year for not just the Vikings and their second-year head coach, Kevin O'Connell, but Kirk Cousins specifically, Kyle.
Plant your flag in the north. Take over that thing. Set up shop for a long time. There's going to be a lot of heat on the Bears. There already is. There's a ton of heat on the Lions. Mm-hmm. And the Packers are going to be interesting as hell. A lot of eyeballs.
Yep.
They're maybe the least interesting team right now just across the four of them just because there's same coach, same quarterback, same everything. Plant your flag. You see this sometimes. You know, Tom Brady leaves the AFC East and the Bills set up shop. And they said, this is going to be ours. All right. And everybody get comfortable. It's going to be ours for a long time. Who's doing that in the North? I don't know. There's so much change and so much youth. And then the Vikings are like, we're going to run back Cousins and the coach. And like, it should be you guys. You guys have the most experienced quarterback. I mean, the Lions got a guy, but Vikings just set up shop. I just wonder, like, so Brock, you've been in the last few years in the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone against Cousins. The Cousins personality and persona is always interesting because he's very good every single year. He puts up numbers, and there's such like a stigma about him and a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting ready for Vikings week, as opposed to other weeks, are you like, man, we got to go to work. We're playing Kirk Cousins. Or are you like, we got this guy. What's his rep?
Around the league, he's a very good quarterback. He's a very good quarterback if you allow him to get going. And if you don't pressure him or knock him on the ground and just show him that, hey, we're getting to you early, he's going to beat you. I mean, he's a starting quarterback in this league. But if you get to him, you know, you rattle him a little bit and you hit him and you take him off his game and you take him off his reads, you know, teams are like, okay, once we get him in this position, we know we got him. So two tails, you know, if you let him get after you, he'll, you know, rip you up. He'll tear your defense up. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, rattling him a little bit, blitzing him, hit him on the ground, get him to the ground. Yeah, I mean, you know, we know that he gets a little rattled.
You expect a lot from them this year? What do you think?
It's a lot of, like I told you earlier, the division is wide open. Mm-hmm. The division is wide open, and I know not a lot of attention goes to the Lions, and I'm biased because I just came from there.
I
but
like it.
They're waiting in the shadows, you know. They're the lion in the shadows, and all you see is their little yellow eyes because they're hoping that you forget about them because, you know, what we did last year was we picked ourselves up, you know. We didn't start well, but we finished very well, and, you know, I think they're just going to take that momentum on the next year, and I think you'll be seeing a different color flag in that ground in the NFC North, you know, sometime soon.
How do you think this young team handles success? Because like you said, it didn't start the way you guys wanted. Mm-hmm. Finished very strong, and if you turn on the TV, everybody's talking about the Lions now, the up-and-coming team. Mm-hmm. How do you think they handle now being kind of a team that other people, when they walk into the building, they're fired up and ready to go, opposed to what it's kind of been the last few years?
If Dan could keep those guys just focused, you know, one-track focused, each week, I think you can do it. They have, like you said, they have a lot of young guys. Mm-hmm. But if you take it out of, hey, don't focus on what the media is talking about you. We've proven nothing yet. You know, these are all things that people are, you know, assumption that people think that's going to happen. Let's go out here and prove it. Mm-hmm. I think that's when they'll get it done. Mm.
Hearing Michael Brockers say something like, Kirk Cousins, he's a starting quarterback in this league. Hearing their head coach say, we hope 2023 will be Kirk Cousins' most successful and competitive season yet, is like saying, oh my gosh, you went to Broadway. Was it the most incredible show you ever seen? And you just saying, it was a Broadway show. Like, plant your flag in the North. Like, that's great. Be division champs. Be them all you want, Minnesota Vikings. Can you make it to an NFC title game? Can you make it to a Super Bowl? Can you not lose in the first round of the playoffs again? Because Kirk Cousins, while I hope he does have the most competitive season in 2023, I'm not sure it necessarily needs to be with the Minnesota Vikings. They just chose to not pick up or extend an extension. The report was that he would have taken less money for more time. Kevin O'Connell said, no, we're good. We'll play out this. He's got $10 million coming to him due in 2023. Mm-hmm. What if he's not there? What if someone like Lamar Jackson is someone that pushes the Minnesota Vikings over the edge? Because the Vikings have the wide receiver. They have the draft picks. If they send two draft picks to the Baltimore Ravens and receive Lamar Jackson, that is finally an edge of a quarterback, a dynamic quarterback, because this Kirk Cousins experience, while it is statistically beautiful and while it earns you a division championship in the regular season, it is not pushing you over the edge the way you think it needs to do in the postseason. I am happy for Kirk Cousins that he has officially dropped this narrative of the fact that he only wins on 1 o'clock games. It's great. You're not winning in January still, and it's frustrating everybody, and you have an unbelievable talent at wide receiver in Justin Jefferson that if you're not careful, I know you're going to extend him, but you have to find a quarterback that is going to make him great, that is going to make this team great, because to play in a division that is ripe for the taking and all you're ever doing is winning regular season division titles, you have to make a change, and sometimes those changes are scary, but bringing in somebody like Lamar Jackson I think would be prime. You might have to send a player as well to the Ravens. Lamar Jackson wants out of Baltimore. Minnesota could send Kirk Cousins. They could send Za'Darius Smith even to Baltimore because he is also under contract still. Send him guy. He's owed $10 million. Ravens, you could have a guy on the cheap, which apparently you're not willing to commit money long-term just yet to a quarterback, and that's fine. Then you're gifted two first-round picks. Have at it for the next couple of years in quarterbacks. Pick who you would like if Lamar Jackson is not your guy. But Lamar, do you want to go win Super Bowls? The Vikings are right there because they're winning their division in the regular season. Make a change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating. We're seeing continuity with Kirk and the head coach. It works. Playoffs. They win the North. He's in the Pro Bowl. It's not enough. Like, definition of insanity type thing.
What you describing it that way and using, honestly, your tone of voice in describing it is Minnesota nice. And I'm so sick of watching the Vikings play that way. Okay. I am. Having a quarterback that wins you regular season titles is great. But as an ownership, as a management, and great, I love Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I think he's an unbelievable talent. But don't come in and say you're going to change the culture and not have part of the culture be we're going to compete for Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. You are still on a list that you don't want to be on of a team that has not won a Super Bowl.
All right.
Go ahead.
Kirk Cousins every year goes out and throws for 4,000 yards and throws more than 25 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. And I understand it. Minnesota fans are frustrated. He's not winning the Super Bowl.
Sure.
be careful what you wish for, because there are franchises, there are organizations who do not have a quarterback, and they're looking at the first five picks of the draft every single year. That is not what you want. Kirk Cousins isn't the issue in Minnesota. He has continued to perform year in, year out since he has been there. Go back and look at the stats of when Kirk Cousins is there and when he's not there. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings have other issues, too. I'm not going to go all the way into the defensive side of the ball, but they're trying to figure that out with Flo. But as I hear Jamie and Minnesota fans talk about Kirk Cousins, just like, well, slow down. Like, let's look at this guy and let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yes, Brock said, when we look at him, he's another quarterback. If you hit him, if you rattle him, you can say that about all 32 quarterbacks. When guys used to play against Brady, it was, all right, we got to put pressure up the middle. Yeah. If we hit them, we can rattle them. Mm-hmm. That is the saying every defensive player, we all say that about quarterbacks because that's the position they play. But Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback in the NFC, which is wide open. Is he Jalen Hurts? No. Jamie, to your point, if they can get Lamar Jackson, hell yeah, you go get Lamar Jackson. But you can say that for probably 25 of the franchises because Lamar Jackson's an MVP. So, yes, he's a for sure upgrade over some of the quarterbacks in the NFL, other than maybe if you have the Mahomes, the Josh Allens, and guys of that stature. Mm. But if you don't, yeah, of course, if they can just swing it and get Lamar, then go for it. But let's not just kick Kirk Cousins out the door, because if there is no Lamar, right now Kirk Cousins is in the final year of his contract. They don't get Lamar. Kirk Cousins goes out there, he plays this year. The Vikings have a very good year. They end up losing in the NFC Championship game. They allow Kirk Cousins to move on. What's next? Mm. Are they drafting a quarterback in the second round and saying, he's our guy, we're riding out with him? Are they looking at free agent quarterbacks to bring in and say, all right, Kirk Cousins couldn't get us over the hump. Let's find this random quarterback that's been on four different teams and bring him in and let Kevin O'Connell whisper in his ear, and now we're going to the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I know he is not on the elite level of some of the other quarterbacks, but I do think he's a really good quarterback, and he has performed well.
What do you think?
Last eight seasons.
What do you think? Jamie brings up a fascinating idea. Lamar Jackson, the Vikings say, let's change this up. Let's get nuts. Let's go to Lamar. What do you think?
I mean, you have to think about, really, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator or Kevin's, relationship. Yeah. Is that a system that he's going to be accustomed to running, Because he's, West Coast offense, under center, type of coach. You get Lamar, now you're going to have to change your whole offensive scheme to a option-based scheme. So you got to think about that aspect, too, when you're thinking about, getting a quarterback like that. And can Kevin switch his offense over to help Lamar succeed? Mm-hmm. It's definitely a tricky situation.
Playing against Kirk Cousins in that division, do you think Kirk Cousins is a guy that can lead this team to a Super Bowl?
I believe so. If they get, like you said, they're it's not just him. They have other issues that they need to fix. But,
if
that team puts it all together, I think they can get it done. Mm.
Do you think Kirk Cousins can lead
I think Kirk Cousins, no.
No.
Okay. Minnesota fan.
Jamie, he has armies of apologists.
Yes,
who point to
I live
line.
With one. One. I'm married to one. Yeah. I have to hear it all the time when I start to talk like this about the Vikings. Yeah. And my husband is,
You're not alone, though.
I know, and I hear that, and I know I'm going to hear about it on social media, but it's how can you create a different outcome if you don't change what is getting you to the same position every single year? And Kirk Cousins is a fun quarterback to watch. I like watching good football. The man creates really fun football to watch. Is that going to be the difference maker on this specific chemical makeup of this team? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That is all I'm saying.
I respect it. Mm-hmm.
I think of Stafford. And he was loved on the Lions, and he was excellent, and he was so talented, he was a great leader. It just wasn't working.
Wasn't happening.
Just wasn't, and I was working much less than I was working for the Vikings.
Right.
Yeah. But eventually, it's just time to go.
Derek Carr with the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know if we're there with Kirk. He's coming off an excellent season, but maybe they say we need something absolutely nuclear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, coming up on Good Morning Football, speaking of nuclear, we have an angry runner coming on the show.
Oh, yeah.
RB1 in Tampa Bay, Rashad White, who was part of the Golden Scepter Tour at NFL Honors this year. Kyle Brandt, you have a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, I don't know if he knew what planet he was on. I certainly didn't know where I was. That was a weird moment. We're going to unpack it. Jalen Hurts, he's on planet Philadelphia right now. Never mind. I was
Planet Fitness.
I went back to that moment on live TV, and I was awkward. Shook. So we're talking football after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.